The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, June 22nd, 2020.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do, because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and my co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
You know, I'd like to publicly thank Ken for all the support that he gives me in doing the show. He is my co-producer, and I just want to thank you, Ken, and acknowledge that you're here and helping, and I don't know if I could go on with the show without you, so thank you, thank you, thank you. I got two special guests today with me. Joining me on the phone will be Nancy Rogers, who's the organizer for the Juneteenth celebration for the past 50 years in Sonoma County. And for today's show, we're going to talk about Juneteenth, its impact, give a little history lesson, and then talk about the special Zoom that happened celebrating the event on June 20th. Very, very interesting. Normally, this event was celebrated every year at the Martin Luther King Park here in South Park in Santa Rosa. But what happened this year, because of the pandemic, we decided to do a Zoom, and it worked out quite well. It is, you can see the Zoom on YouTube, and if you go to www.womenspaces, you'll find the connection to that event. Also joining me on the phone is Yishuan Zunging. She's a Zoom producer and owner of the Zingia company. I thought it'd be interesting to find out more about Zoom and the process. And I came up with this funny thought. We have gone from boomers to Zoomers. I mean, it's very, very interesting. Well, you know, this weekend was really exciting. It was a weekend packed with Juneteenth celebrations all across the nation. And what's interesting about it, they're even thinking now of making it a national holiday. And I want to just give you a little backstory here. You know, the president held a rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And at first he scheduled it for June 19th, which is the actual date of Juneteenth. And what happened was his security guard, I guess, or his Secret Service man, told him about Juneteenth, and so the president went ahead and did it on June the 20th. June 20th or June 21st. No, it was June 20th that he actually had the rally. But what happened was, because of his mistake, all of a sudden Juneteenth became a national discussion. You know, I've been with the group. I've been on the board for the Juneteenth committee here in Santa Rosa, and that's when I first found out, because my neighbor across the street, Nancy Rogers, we've been neighbors for 35 years, and she asked me. She says, "Why don't you help me with this Juneteenth celebration?" And that's when I first found out about it. And so Nancy's going to give us the history, and we're going to have a nice conversation about what happened. And you know, to me, it is so sad. It is so sad that our African American brothers and sisters have suffered so much, you know, for the past, like Al Sharpton said, 401 years. It's been since the first boat landed here in the United States with slaves. And I came across once again, and the quote from Dr. Martin Luther King, which I just love. And it's, "I have a dream that one day people will be judged by the content of their character, not by the color of their skin." I'm going to say that again. I have a dream that one day people will be judged by the content of their character and not by the color of their skin. And I'd like to tell Dr. King that I feel the same way. You know, that's also my dream, that we can look at each other as human beings. You know, when people ask me, "Well, who are you?" The first thing I can think of, who am I? I'm a woman first. You know, that's who I am. Well, actually, I'm a human being first, and then I'm a human being who's a woman. And then, you know, I have a name, I have a family, you know, all the different things you identify me with. But the most important thing is I'm a human being. It doesn't matter what color my skin is. It doesn't matter anything about me. We're all in the human family. And, you know, there was an interesting thing that came across Facebook. You know, we're all stuck on this planet together. There's no way to get away with it. Well, now we are celebrating Juneteenth, and all of a sudden Black Lives Matter have come to the forefront again. There was a very interesting letter to the editor yesterday from local artist Judy Kennedy. She wants to see Black Lives Matter painted on 4th Street. You know, if you folks agree with that, you know, email me at www.womenspaces.com, and I'll be happy. I'll be happy to turn the information over to Judy. But I have a kind of an interesting thought about that. You know, when they talk about Black Lives Matter, you know, people will say, oh, no, all lives matter. You know, the idea of Black Lives Matter, number one, is to bring it to the attention to the world. That is the black men and women and children who are being shot in the streets. And the idea of Black Lives Matter is to bring to the attention that Black Lives Matter. Then everybody covers it up with All Lives Matter. Okay, of course all lives matter. But let's look at why Black Lives Matter is so important. Because if black lives don't matter, then no lives matter. Why? Because that means that police can do anything they want to any race. And if you don't nip it in the bud while it's happening, it just goes on and on and on. I have two Caucasian friends. Both of their sons suffered from some level of mental challenges, let's put it that way, were shot by law enforcement. So you can see that all lives really matter, but if we don't identify that black lives matter right now because we want it to stop. I mean, when I looked at that George Floyd, let me just tell you a little story. You know, I'm a very curious person. I like to do research, and I decided to go on Facebook. You know, that you get more history on Facebook. It's just amazing what goes on there. And I went onto YouTube, and I decided to watch to see what happened on that day in Minneapolis with George Floyd. And the screen that I got when I found the video of it, it had a time clock on it. So that meant I can go in, I can look at it, and while it was happening along the side, there was a clock ticking. Okay, and I'm watching this horrific thing. I'm watching this man with his knee on the neck of another man holding it there while you have a whole audience around you saying, "Oh, no, hey, the guy's not breathing. Let him go. Let him go." There was so many warnings happening. It was just amazing. And there's this Caucasian law enforcement man with his knee on his neck looking at the crowd with his hands in his pocket. And the clock is ticking. And in 5 minutes and something like 20 seconds, I literally saw the life go out of this human being, and I was stunned. I was absolutely stunned. And everybody's yelling, "Get off, he's not breathing." And the officer held his knee on his neck for almost the next 3 minutes, with two or three other officers trying to quiet the crowd and push him back. Now, to me, that was something that I thought I would never see. I mean, you know, you hear about this one got shot or this one happened, you feel terrible, you want change, you want reform, but when you actually see what it looks like for one human being who thinks they have more control over another human being and take their life that way. So I say to you, yes, black lives matter, and it has to stop. And if it doesn't stop, whether you want to recognize it or not, all lives are in jeopardy. So let's get that saying very, very clear. Everybody has to support it. You know, what do we want in this country? I mean, let's look at it. I mean, do we want a militarized police, or do you want a police force? Like when I was a young girl, the police came to our school. They told us what great guys they were. You know, we would get to know them, you know, Officer so-and-so. And so when you saw a policeman on the street, you weren't freaked out. Now people don't even trust. They don't even want to call 911 if they have an emergency because they're afraid if someone comes out, it's going to turn into a disaster. So we have to start thinking about these things. And we're in a free country. You know, freedom comes at a cost. And the cost is involvement. You have to put time into it. You have to pay attention. You have to have compassion. You have to have empathy. And you have to recognize that Black Lives Matter and that you do not want to see another young person or another man or another woman shot. I mean, this young woman that was shot in her own apartment, oh my goodness. I mean, come on. You know, things have got to change. And hopefully through our conversations, through recognizing each other as human beings first, and all that other stuff just plays into it. You know, we all come from, I mean, I'm a human being and you're a human being. I recognize our cultures are different. Our foods are different. Our way of talking is different. That's the fun of it. You know, when I was watching the Juneteenth celebration that we did, and there was another celebration that I got to tune in that a dear friend of mine, Dr. Jacqueline Lawrence, put on. And I got to listen to how people feel and how they think about things and the importance of loving yourself and loving others and accepting others. I mean, you don't have to be best friends with everybody, but just acceptance of one another is so important. So there's a lot to think about, but you know, that's what Women's Spaces, I hope, is all about, that we're thinking about things. We're women. We bring forward the life. We bring forward children. I mean, there's not one human being on this planet that did not come through us, women. And women have to stand up. They have to stand up and say, enough is enough. A child is a child is a child. It deserves all the good things in life. You know, a child doesn't ask to be born. We bring him into the world. Therefore, we need to make sure that world is safe and secure for them. And the greatest thing we can give them is freedom. The freedom to walk on the streets without being afraid of being killed. The freedom to be able to go into a supermarket and buy food. I mean, you get the gist. Well, that's a lot to think about, and I hope we're all thinking out there. I certainly think a lot about these things, and you know, it's heartbreaking to me. It's just heartbreaking to me. I don't understand it. I can't wrap my arms around it or my mind around it. But at the same time, we have to talk about it. We have to express about it. You know, Ken and I turned on Roots, and I couldn't watch it. I couldn't watch it. The thought of what was done to people. The thought to get free labor, that they would put such cruelty and such horror in people's lives. I just don't understand it, and I don't understand any man or woman that would support it or do it. You know, I just do not understand it. Anyway, that's a lot of negativity for the morning. I know that, but there's a lot to think about, and you can't be quiet about it. You know, I don't want to be quiet about it. I want to see change. And the first change I want to see is acceptance of who we are as human beings and how we are all on a planet called Earth, and we must learn to live and get along together. Well, you know, what I try to bring in, I always try to bring in our history is our strength. And why is that important? Why is it important to know our history? Let's think about that for a minute. What's important about it is that we have to know what people accomplished before us. And every time a person accomplishes something, there's always a struggle. I mean, I remember when I got involved with the women's movement way back in 1970. I didn't even realize how oppressed I was. And then the struggle started to happen. And I didn't realize how ignorant I was. And I had to catch up with all the different things that were going on. But what got me through was history. Because I realized I was standing on the shoulders of many, many great women who had come before me, who had accomplished many, many things. And here I was. It was my generation's turn. And now at 80, it's the next generation's turn. And I want to do a shout out, a big shout out to all the young people that came out with these protests with Black Lives Matter and how organized they were. They got hundreds of thousands of people out. I mean, what a network young people have today. And you know, they're talking and thinking about things that I, in my mind, I had no idea about. Well, let's look at our history. You know, it's really interesting. You know, and I've got to go to 1972. And I remember, because I was at Sonoma State at this time, and I remember a young woman, I don't remember if she wanted to play basketball or she wanted to play football. I don't remember what it was, but they wouldn't let her on the team because she was a woman, a young woman. And man, there was a furor across the country because, of course, the women's movement was happening. So on June 23rd, 1972, Title IX of the Education Amendments of 1972 is signed by President Nixon, one of the most important legislation initiatives passed for women and girls since they won the vote in 1920. This legislation guarantees equal access and equal opportunity for female and male students in almost all aspects of our educational system, which meant women had a right to play soccer, to play football, to get in and to compete. It was an amazing, amazing event. Now, this was in 1972. So now let's go ahead about maybe 20 years later in 1997, which was June 21st, the Women's National Basketball Association, WNBA, plays its first game. So let's see, 72, 82, 92. It took about 22 years before we were actually allowed to play basketball. And of course, now we play soccer and all that other good stuff. And then on June 25th, let's go way back in history, 1903. Maria Curie defends her doctoral thesis on radioactive substances at Université de Sorbonne in Paris, becoming the first woman in France to receive a doctoral degree. Congratulations. And unfortunately, you know, Maria Curie died because of radiation poisoning, which was really, really very sad. But she definitely brought a lot to the world and did a lot of experimenting. So our history is our strength. And all these women, the first that took the great chance of saying, hey, I count. I want what I want. And I'm going to get it. You can't stop me because I'm a woman. Amazing. Well, lots to think about, so let's start thinking all of it. And like in the words of Al Sharpton, the time is now. The time is now to start loving and caring and respecting one another. And, you know, one last thing I want to say. I want to explain, you know, everybody's up in air because everybody's saying to defund the police. What they're talking about. They're not saying get rid of the police. You know, they had this, Trump did this this story about this woman that had an attack and she couldn't call 9/11 because they defunded the police. No, that's not what is happening. What they mean by defund the police, it means they want to take some of the money and allocate it into better services for our citizens. For example, the police should not have to deal with people who are having mental issues, you know, that are having breakdowns. You know, let them concentrate on crime, on criminals, and the other situations, get the professionals in there. But you need money. You need to put the funds in other different places. We're not going to get rid of the police. We need some form of policing. There's always emergencies. There's always something happening that you need somebody good to go out there and take care of it. But not when it comes to some of these mental health issues or some of these addiction issues that happen, what they're being called out at. So that's what they mean by defund. So you have to start thinking about it because oftentimes because people want to do, they don't want something to happen. So they put us into a state of fear like, oh, they're going to get rid of the police. Who are we going to call on when there's any trouble? No. It means they just want to allocate the funds, some of the funds. I mean, here in Sonoma County, we have more money into law enforcement than we do into some of the programs that we need for our citizens. So it's very, very interesting and very important that when we hear things and things are discussed, we do a little research and find out what is the truth, what is the real meaning behind it, instead of reacting like a bunch of scared human beings. Think about things. Question things. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to give an opinion. And above all, please, don't be afraid to think. Anyway, that's a lot to say, like I said before. So we're going to take a musical break, and the song I'm going to be playing is one of my favorite songs by Vivian Richmond. It's called Freedom. It's called Freedom, and freedom is the whole thing that's going on today. We're all fighting for our freedom to live and to live in a country that is free. When we return, I will be talking with Nancy Rogers, and we will be talking about Juneteenth and the Zoom that they had just recently. Let's go ahead and listen to Freedom by Vivian Richmond.
Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom over me. And before I'd be a slave, I'd be buried in my grave. Go home to my Lord and be free. No more weeping, no more weeping, no more weeping over me. And before I'd be a slave, I'd be buried in my grave. Go home to my Lord and be free. Well, come and go with me to that land. Come and go with me to that land. Go with me to that land where I am bound. Well, come and go with me to that land. Come and go with me to that land. Go with me to that land where I am bound. Well, there's no morning in that.
Wow, what a song. Boy, I love that. Before I be a slave, I'd be buried in my grave. You know, that line, for some reason, when I was thinking of George Floyd and that officer with his knee on his neck, I think of those slave ships, when they were put in the slave ships and they had chains on them, how they took their freedom away when they had no right to. Nobody has a right to take anybody's freedom away or anybody's life away. Only the Creator. Anyway, welcome back. For you just joining in, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guests, my first guest. Joining me on the phone is Nancy Rogers, chair of the Juneteenth Committee, who for the past 50 years has facilitated the celebration of the Juneteenth Festival here in Sonoma County. This year, because of the pandemic, they had the festival. The festival was celebrated via a Zoom program. Before we begin, Nancy, welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome, boy. you're becoming the spokesperson here in Sonoma County for Juneteenth. I just saw an interview with you with Eric Stanley at the Sonoma County Museum. Congratulations. It was a beautiful, beautiful interview. And for folks who want to watch that interview, it'll be listed on www.womenspaces.com. Before we start, Nancy, I'd like to tell our listeners a little bit about you. Is that okay? Nancy Rogers is the chair of the Juneteenth Festival that has been happening at the Martin Luther King Park in South Park, Santa Rosa for the last 50 years. She is a board member of the Black Forum and Black Chamber of Commerce and president of Entrepreneurs of Tomorrow, a nonprofit organization that provides scholarships for young people. And also, along with her husband, Harold Rogers, she is co-owner of Red Bruce Catering. She is a grandmother, she's a mother, a grandmother, and a great neighbor. We've lived across the street from each other for over 30 years. And let me tell you something, we have educated each other back and forth and have had some of the greatest conversations I've ever had. Well, welcome, Nancy. Welcome to Women's Spaces. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
No, I think you covered it all, Elaine.
Well, you know, Juneteenth, you know, I just think, you know, President Trump is taking the credit for all of a sudden he let the country know about Juneteenth. Well, we got to give him credit. You know, he made a mistake and all of a sudden it's become a national conversation, which I think is so important for people not only to understand what happened during Juneteenth, but also the plight of the people and what freedom meant. So why don't you give us a little history about Juneteenth? You know, what is it exactly? And as you, as a young woman, how you found out about it and what kind of impact it had on you?
Okay. Well, Juneteenth is the oldest known celebration commemorating the end of slavery in the United States. It goes back to June 19, 1865, when the word got to Galveston, Texas, that the slaves there was free. And they had been free 2.5 years after President Lincoln signed a proclamation. And so I found out about it, you know, probably around 1983. Although I lived in a small town in Arkansas, we never did celebrate Juneteenth. I did not find out about Juneteenth until I moved out here in California. And we started talking about it, and there was big festivals in the city, Oakland, San Francisco, and places like that. Until we decided that we was going to change the name after Dr. King's birthday became a holiday in 83, I started doing research and to find out about Juneteenth. And the more I read about it, and the more the impact it had on me was, this is another representation on how freedom and justice in the United States has always been delayed for black peoples. You know, it's late, you know. And so, but we continue to celebrate Juneteenth because it is an important day.
Well, tell us about it. Tell us about it. Give us the history. What is it? What happened?
Well, and you know, Juneteenth, it was slavery. I mean, we celebrate Juneteenth for just a few slaves in Texas. But, you know, in the United States, there never was commemorating nothing about the end of slavery. No one, like 250 million people or something like that was enslaved. You know, there was no holiday. There was no, matter of fact, you holler see any of it in the textbooks, you know. And so it's just a reflection on how Americans got equality so wrong, you know. And so we have to continue to celebrate and protest and until things are equal again. No, not again, but equal, you know. And with this this George Floyd killing, and so many other killings too, but for some reason, George Floyd killings, it just stood out. People say enough is enough. And then with the president getting it so wrong, you know, and I think he just did it because he's just really ignorant to it, the date. Although all he had to do is just look back at other presidents and see what they did on this day. But it highlighted it. And so it's more than just black people was out in the street protesting this holiday. And I really, you know what, I really feel that this holiday, it wasn't just a black holiday. I feel that this Juneteenth, white Americans, honestly, fill in the gaps of the stories that they had not been told. They started doing researches and found out about, wow, did this really happen? Yes, it really happened.
Talk and about a little bit.
I received so many calls from people, especially white Americans, saying, I just found out about Juneteenth. I went on and Googled it, and I just can't believe all of this was happening. I said, yes, and it's not in school. It's not being taught in the schools.
Well, tell the story of what happened. Just give a brief background. And also, one of the things I want to comment about the George Floyd thing, I think the impact it had is because we as people, we human beings, were able to see another human being die right in front of our eyes for a reason that we really could not even comprehend. I mean, the story is that he might have passed a $20 bill. I mean, is that a life is worth so little, $20 bill? You know, who knows if he even had it? I mean, we all change money all the time, you know. I mean, who knows what could have happened with that $20 bill. So, and I think it's something like that that's really has triggered people. And then when you look at Juneteenth, I mean, the story is, I believe, something happened in Galveston, Texas. You want to tell us just a little bit about that?
Well, it was, on June 18th, the Union soldiers led by Major General Gordon landing in Galveston, Texas, was new that the war had ended and the slave was now free. But like I said, that was 2.5 years after President Lincoln passed the proclamation. And so it had little impact, though, on Texas due to the amount of numbers of Union troops to enforce the new executive law order. But I was... I've been reading about this, and just because they was free, you know, some places, little things change. I mean, very little things change, you know, because they had to continue to work, you know, and it's almost like they were still slaves.
Well, what's so interesting, this is 155 years ago that this happened, and we're still dealing with these issues around racism and around, you know, inequality, you know, with the Jim Crow laws where they had every law that it felt like an African-American person couldn't even breathe, you know, because if they put their toe out in the water in the wrong way, it was, you know, against the law.
Right.
So it really looks like even today, you know, we're still struggling with the same issues that they struggled back then. The only difference is we can walk around a little bit different, but it's still, there's still this kind of this noose around our neck, so to speak. And that's what, so I remember when I was listening to Al Sharpton, one of the things he said is that the culture has had the knee on black people's necks forever, for actually 401 years since they started slavery. And you know, I tried to watch a program. I thought, you know, I'm going to watch Roots again because that's a history. And I got news for you, I could not watch it. I said to myself, I already know enough. I mean, how much more do I need to know? That film showed me enough. Well, listen, we're coming, you know, the segment goes by really quick, and you know, we have come from becoming boomers to becoming Zoomers. That's my new statement. Now, you folks decided to do a Zoom, and the most wonderful thing, one of the things that I really found really interesting, you had as your guest speaker, Dr. Kim Hester Williams, who's a professor of English, and she played the song. She talked about indivisible allies, we who believe in freedom should not rest, talking about the history of Juneteenth, but also talking about how we can become together as white allies and black allies together. You had some wonderful music by Mr. James Coffey, and also your daughter, your stepdaughter Tina Rogers, gave a great history. Tell us a little bit about how did that feel to do the Zoom? I mean, that was a big decision to make, and I know you had a lot of fears about it. Talk about it a little bit. What did you think, and how did people respond?
Well, to me, I was nervous, and it was very stressful, you know, weeks before, because not very familiar with Zoom and having a full schedule on Zoom, and some of it was live and some of it was pre-recorded, not knowing how it was going to go. I was real nervous about it, you know, but I know that we have a good team. We have a good board members and a good team, and the schedule we had a variety of different things on the schedule, you know, from ballet to Zumba to remembrance, you know. So we had a good team, but I was still a little nervous. But thank God everything went over really good. And matter of fact, my husband was saying, you know, we really need to think about, you know, even next year, if this pandemic is all over, maybe we should think about also, you know, recording it so people at home that can't get out to the park can still be seeing it live. And so we were going to talk about that in our, you know, at our board meeting.
Well, you know, it was really interesting to me. I mean, the thing that was the most fun was when we had the, here we are, where everybody, these little faces, you can see everybody and blah, blah, blah. But then all of a sudden, when the Zumba came on and we put the film on, you see all these little faces all around, you know, surrounding the presentation, and everybody's dancing. You know, I mean, it was like everybody was so happy. It shows that community, no matter how you come together, is a good experience. Just coming together, just getting to know each other. You know, it was really, really interesting. Well, you know, Nancy, it is on YouTube. I got to see it, and I was proud that I was able to announce Dr. Williams, which, by the way, she's going to be on Women's Spaces again on July the 6th, and we're going to talk a little bit about this subject, the very subject that she talked about.
Well,
okay. Well, Nancy, we're coming to the end of the segment, and I want folks to know we don't have the website here for YouTube, but it will be listed on www.womenspaces.com. For some reason, I couldn't find it this morning. Any last words, any websites, or how they can get a hold of you? I know you're president of the Entrepreneurs of Tomorrow. You're looking for people, if they know of young people that need a scholarship or need some support for college. How can they get what is your website and your email, and any last words?
Well, the Juneteenth website is www.SonomaCountyJuneteenth.com.
Oh, good.
You know, they could go in and they could find out information. And they can send me a message if they need to get in contact with me.
Okay. Well, any last words, anything you'd like to share, that any feelings or thoughts that you have?
Well, you know what I wanted to say, because I forgot to mention on Saturday about the proclamation from the city of Santa Rosa. And we really do appreciate the proclamation. They recognize in that June 20, 2020, Juneteenth day here in Santa Rosa. And I just didn't want to, you know, I just want to shout out to them that a thank you. We appreciate it. So much was going on. It was in the back of my mind. But then when things started going, I clearly forgot about that. But not intentionally.
Well, we should thank the city of Santa Rosa, for acknowledging Juneteenth, you know, and for taking it to heart how important it is to honor our African-American members of our community, how very important it is.
Yeah.
Well, Nancy Rogers, thank you so much for being such a delightful guest on Women's Spaces, and thank you so much for all you do for our community. You know, it takes a village, and you're definitely one of the village leaders. So thank you so much for being on Women's Spaces, and I look forward to talking to you again.
All right. Thank you so much, Eli.
You bet. Bye. Oh, boy. Thank you, Nancy Rogers, chair of the Juneteenth Festival in Santa Rosa. You know, our history is our strength. It shows us how many wins we've had, and it also shows us where can we improve, you know. You know, we do not pay attention to history. If we don't pay attention to it, we keep repeating it over and over again. You know, things never change. So just remember that. Anyway, we're going to take a musical break now. We're going to listen to Mahalia Jackson singing We Shall Overcome. I love that song. I mean, you know, it's a gospel that's been sung in the churches for the Black Americans for a long time. But I'll tell you something. Whenever I have a problem or I get down and out, I listen to Mahalia Jackson singing this song, and I'll tell you, it just lifts my spirit. When we come back, I will be talking to Ishan Zinga. She's a Zoom producer and owner of the Zinga and Company. So let's go ahead, 10, and listen to We Shall Overcome, sung by Mahalia Jackson.
We shall overcome. one day we shall overcome. Lord, one day, we shall all have peace and day. We shall all have peace one day. We shall all.
Oh, yes, we are overcoming. This is the time, like Reverend Al Sharpton said in his two beautiful, beautiful eulogies for George Floyd, the time is now. Anyway, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And joining me on the phone for this segment is Ishan Zenga. Welcome, Ishan. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Oh, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing really good. You know, can you pronounce your name for me? I just want to make sure I have it right. It's Ishan, the last name.
It's Ishan Zuniga.
Zuniga. And you also have your own company. And let's talk a little bit about that. Before we go, I want to just let my folks know a little bit about you. Is that okay?
Yes, that's fine.
Ishan is a motivated person that enjoys using her creativity to assist individuals and small businesses. She has developed and maintained websites over the past 20 years. As a web development changes, she constantly updates her skills to keep up with the latest tools available to her her clients. And one of them, of course, is the Zoom. She also worked in local public access stations, and that's where her and I first met, and various local organizations to produce and air their programs. Learning along the way how to complete multi-camera shots, interviews, and edit video. Ishan enjoys helping others to get the word out about their business, whether it is via web or through video. Her most recent event was directing the Sonoma County Juneteenth 50th annual event on Zoom. What was that like for you, Ishan?
It was the first time I did it, first of all. So that was a bit of a challenge because I've used Zoom, throughout this COVID time. But one of the things that I do know is television production and video production. So I had to take a lot of the videos that was coming in because when you do Zoom, you can share your desktop, which means you can share your videos also. So I was sharing the videos through QuickTime because I was on a Mac. And so when I was sharing the videos, we had probably about 10 different clips. And so every time I had to pull up a different window for a different clip. So using my background with CMC and learning how to do the video editing, I compiled all of those videos into one single video. And then I was able to add titling and all these different things that made it look more professional.
Well, for a beginner, I have to say you pulled it together. In fact, the most interesting thing was my biggest concern as a board member was the sound, and I'll tell you, you did an excellent job. Well, before we begin talking about the Juneteenth Zoom that you facilitated and get a little more in depth about that, you know, as a young woman of color, can you tell us now when did you find out about Juneteenth and how did that impact you? What did that do for you?
Well, I grew up in L.A. So, and my godmother was from the South, and her mother was from the South. So they were from Louisiana, and then I believe my godmother was born in Mississippi. So they ended up having to, hold on for a second here. has background noise, helicopter. So I've heard directly from them history. So they were living history for me in my life. And so they went through the history of, you know, being in the Jim Crow laws and not being able to vote and having only certain jobs that they can do. And so my godmother talked to me. She was living history, and she would tell us all the time, you know, school is important. We didn't get to go to school. And so we died, and a lot of people marched so that you guys can go to school, so take education very seriously. And then she also told us about the vote, that people died to vote, people marched to vote, and so that we shouldn't take that lightly. So she made sure that we knew how to vote. And when she would go voting, she would take us to the vote centers with her so that we could understand the importance of our vote.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that. You know, my grandmother was born in Russia and came over here when she was 13 years old. And she was here for 30 years before she voted. And you know, she came from a country, you know, where they lived in shtetls. And so what the pogroms used to do is they would lay the children out. They would kill them and lay the children out and tell the Jews to get out of Russia. And so when she came to this country, and 30 years later she voted, and the whole family, I mean, she had 8 children, and there was an average of 3 grandchildren each child, okay? They all went to the voting polls when grandma voted. And I can remember it like it was yesterday. And she came out of the booth, because I was her oldest grandchild. I was always next to her, and she put her arm around me and she says, "Only in America can I vote. Elaine, you must always vote." You know, and I could feel that feeling, and that's when I found out about my own history. And you know, what's so interesting about this country, and I don't know if you agree or disagree with this, is that so many people don't vote, and here people have given their lives so they can vote. There are still in countries that people are dying. So, how close was your grandmother? Did she have family? How many years did she live in the South? I mean,
I call them my grandma. They aren't actually my physical family, but I grew up with them. So I call them Nana and Grandma. Her mother was actually born in 1898. So she was on the cusp of, you know, after Juneteenth and all of that fallout from, you know, them getting their freedom. But in speaking to my godmother and her mom, we found out that it took a long time, and it's still taking a long time for some of the freedoms to actually happen. The other side of that coin is my family. I am actually first generation American, so I've had the other side of dealing with coming to America. I was born here in America. All my siblings were born here in America, but my parents were from Belize in Central America. So we, you know, are first generation American. And that's been an interesting ride, because a lot of times people look at me and automatically think that I am born African American, and that my descendants are from the South and from the slave time. But actually, my family comes from slavery through the Caribbean side. And, you know, as you know or may not know, that slavery sort of ended earlier in the Caribbean side than it did in the American side.
I you know, it's kind of perplexing when you think about anybody would want to own or dominate another person that way. And I think the one thing that I keep thinking about, this whole George Floyd thing with the knee on the neck, it feels, you know, it just feels that's what slavery is like. It's like a knee on your neck. Like you can't, you have no freedom, you have no choice, you know, and yet at the same time, the history and how these people survived. You know, one of the things Al Sharpton brought out in one of his speeches, he said that he wants people to be aware that the black people that live today, they are the ancestors of very, very strong people, that they were able not only to make it over in the ships, but were able to live oh, that was 300 and some odd years in slavery and still survive, yeah, and still come out as a family. And one thing he said that was so interesting to me, he said, you know, to show how peaceful and loving black people are, if they wanted to, they could have had a Ku Klux Klan a long time ago, but they chose not to go that route. And, you know, you have to give that kind of acknowledgement for a people that we have a lot to learn from each other. And I think
yes, we
really do. Well, listen, let's just go back a little bit about the Zoom. And I really want to thank you. Thank you for sharing about your ancestors and about the fact you and I share that in common. I'm also a first generation American. My father was born in Poland, and my mother is actually the first generation, but I'm first generation on my father's side. And it's a challenge being the first generation. It's a challenge. Well, let's go back just a little bit. We're coming to the end of the segment. And what I like to do is, if there's anybody, you know, Zooming, I make a joke. I say we've gone from boomers to Zoomers. I mean, I think that's just the way I look at it lately. I mean, I've been on more Zooms and I mean, I've used
yes.
It's just amazing. Well, if there's a person out there, you know, one of the advantages that I have to do a shout out is you had the advantage, just like I did, of being involved at the Community Media Center, which was such training ground for us. But if anybody's listening out there and they want to become a Zoom master, you know, what would you recommend?
One of the things that I found very helpful is that Zoom does have a lot of material to help you walk through their process of how the host side works, how the participant side works, and all those different components. So it does take you taking some time to go read through their documentation to understand how their system works. I know I talked to you about the audio. And one of the things you have to do before you do a Zoom presentation is you want to test it. You want to test whatever documents you're going to display. You want to test whatever audio you're going to play. And you want to have two different devices when you do that. You want to have the device that you're going to actually do the Zoom and project the Zoom out. And then you want to have a test device. So one of the things I had to do with the audio was test it. Because as you stated, when we did it, previewed it, it was pretty loud. So the adjustment and part of me having that background in media, I was able to look at it and say, okay, it's too loud. You want to put that audio level on the host device that you're using to check the sound at a medium level so that you can give people space to, you know, go up if they need to. And if any time you project out audio, if you're projecting it out at the highest volume, you're going to get the crackling and there's no, the sound will be awful. So you have to move the audio level down. So it was, that part was a learning process. And then, I realized as we were doing Zoom and we actually, you can Zoom to Facebook Live and you can also Zoom to YouTube Live. So we were doing this event for YouTube Live. And while in the middle of it, while I was sitting there, I like to look at all the images and I'm looking at the YouTube and I look and I'm like, oh, all the images up. And then I realized I have to put it on presenter view so that the speaker could be only up. So that was one thing that I learned that might be helpful for other people if they're zooming to Facebook Live or YouTube Live to remember to put it in presenter mode instead of viewing the gallery.
Amazing. Well, we've come to the end of the segment, Ishan. Is there any last words or anything? Do you have a website that people can see your work, or do you have an email people can get a hold of you? What any last words that you might have?
Yes, I work with, you know, small business, small companies, and nonprofit organizations. My website is zunco.biz. That's ZUNCO.BIZ. Biz. And my email address is zuniga company@gmail.com. That's Z-U-N, as in S-C-I-G-A, company@gmail.com. And you can contact me if you would like more information. I like sharing information. So even if there's some questions on something that you're trying to do on Zoom, you can just drop me an email.
And hello, drop you an email. We lost her. Something. Pardon? We lost the phone. Are we still on the air, Ken?
Yep.
Okay, we're still in the end. Well, we were just talking to Ishan Zuniga about her company and about Zooming, and I just want to thank you, Ishan, for being such a wonderful guest, for doing such a wonderful job for Juneteenth. And I want to end, we got a few seconds here, Ken. I want to end, we got 2 minutes. I'm going to end with this poem. Life, the sound of the garden is music to my ears. Delicate sounds help me cast away my fears. Leaves being caressed by the wind, moving gently through space, winds touching my body, letting me know I am kin to the wind. Bees buzzing around, flowers make me aware that our mother earth has so much to share. Butterflies flying from one petal to another makes one aware that there is not other. Only you and I planting seeds, watching our feed grow, our food grow, nature fulfilling our needs. The garden is my friend, showing me always the great mystery creates abundance that has no end. To remember that, the great mystery produces abundance that has no end. Well, this is Elaine B. Holtz. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. I want to remind you, as I always do every single show, our children are the future, and we must take care of that future. And remember, Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter, because we never want to see another film like that where some life is taken that way. A reminder, tell your friends that Women's Spaces will be aired tonight at 11 p.m. I am so excited to get to listen to my own program. Also, I'm available for speaking engagements, and if you have any birthdays or anniversaries you'd like to have announced on the air, please do not hesitate to let me know. Again, remember our future. We must never lose sight of that. Our children are the future. And remember the words of Dr. Martin Luther King. I have a dream that one day people will be judged by the content of their character, not by the color of their skin. And I want Dr. King and all his followers to know I, Elaine B. Holtz, also have that dream. This is Elaine B. Holtz. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
Because the woman in your life is you.
Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, June 22nd, 2020.